Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is a small scripture, so it'll be fast. Jeremiah 8:18 and Jeremiah 9:1. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes fountains of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. Amen.
Thank you so much. I will be honest with you. I think that may have been a typo. It was through. So let me just grab a Bible and I'll read it to you. Hold on. You'll find that with the sermon today, the essence of Jeremiah is that he's a bit of a bummer. So really, that was a great synopsis. That really might have been essentially all you needed to hear. But for the full weight of it, let me read it to you. Thank you to our volunteer for reading, though. So my grief is beyond healing. My heart is sick within me. Hark, the cry of the daughter of my people from the length and breadth of the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded. I mourn in dismay and they have taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So now that you have the full capacity of tears of Jeremiah, let us begin. Jeremiah is giving us a massive public lament in practically the entire book of Jeremiah. And we'll go through it together in a little bit. But can you hear me okay? Good. I do enjoy a thumbs up or a huh if you can't, so don't be shy. So Jeremiah is writing during the rule of a king who is terrible at his job. The previous king, who was named Hezekiah, was wonderful. He took care of his people. He encouraged the citizens to live as Christians. But in Jeremiah's time, this good king Hezekiah has died. And his son, Manasseh, is now in charge. Manasseh is letting all of Judah, which is the kingdom that Jeremiah is in, he's letting all of Judah go completely downhill. Everybody is worshiping Baal, this false god, and everything is messed up. There are no rules. The people have no respect for the law or God's name. And this is where we join Jeremiah today. Now, I don't know you all very well, and I know that you don't know me very well, so we're not going to talk about politics today. Now, as far as you know me, I'm a sunshiny, smiley person who showed up in your parking lot today. And as far as I know you, I know that your clerk of session and your pianist and your secretary are all lovely people. That's as far as our introduction goes. So we're not going to go into anything about new presidents or old presidents or any kind of presidents. In case you were holding your breath, I wanted you to know. Fair?
Fair.
Fair. We are, however, going to talk about our communities and how we take care of each other and our neighbors. The people who are next to us, maybe not familiarly close to us, but the people that we share space with. In that fashion, we'll just keep it polite. And if Presbyterians are nothing if not polite. And perhaps at a later date when we know each other better. Perhaps on a second date, we'll talk about the rest. So Jeremiah's words are important. And they are irksome to me today, and we'll get into that, but they are important. They're important for us to have. They're important because God ordained them. Back in the beginning, in the first chapter of Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, "You will tell the people what I want them to hear." And because Jeremiah was ordained to speak, his words are no less important now, because he is dead, than they were then. And so we keep reading them. They are also important because they highlight a particular mode of being. They highlight what it is to be sad and scared and angry for the way things are. And sometimes we need words to articulate that. But by chapter 8 in Jeremiah, by 8 chapters in, we are still lamenting. Still. Very much in the same way from the section that we've read from today. Everything is terrible. Nothing will ever be okay again. And really, every chapter from 2 to 8 is like that. I'll give you small highlights. So after he introduces himself and how he came to be responsible for giving the word, chapter 2 goes, "Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and made themselves worthless as well?" Harsh stuff. Chapter 3, "You are faithless children." Chapter 4, "Flee for safety." 5, "Destroy and burn." 6, "Their ears are closed." 7, "Evil and disobedience." By chapter 8 and then 9, Jeremiah, good heavens, we get it. We know things are bad. Thank God that the Lord did not lead us through every chapter of that for the lectionary today. This is what irks me. Jeremiah, if I could speak to him through the ages, through all the dust and years that have passed since then, Jeremiah, please stop crying. Stop crying and do something. See, what Jeremiah is talking about in his nation, in his neighborhood, is essentially the breaking down of relationships between people. People have no respect for one another and for who God is. And what we know of the Christian scriptures is that we love God and we love neighbors as ourselves. And when the word of God breaks down, when it is disregarded, human relationships are also disregarded. We stop caring about one another. And this is where hatred is born. In disobedience, in frivolousness, in forgetting to care for the people around you is where hatred finds its place. And hatred loves to tear us from our God. And to do that, hatred knows that we have to be distracted. For hatred to form, hatred wants us to focus on ourselves. Hatred wants us to sink into this deep mire of lament that Jeremiah is talking about. Hatred loves it when we weep and just scroll through Facebook. Scroll through and just absorb all of the sadness and all of the badness and all of the weeping of the people, when that's all we do. Now, I want to highlight for you, though, that Facebook is not the enemy. It is our behavior, friends. Put down your phone and do something. You see, hatred loves to pit us against each other. Hatred loves it when we sit back and say, "This is a them problem," and point our fingers. Hatred loves it when we say, "Well, I'm not like them, and they're the ones that have to deal with this, so they're the ones who need to change." Last I checked, we're a human race, friends, and there is no them problem without also a us problem as well. We need to stop pointing fingers, friends, and do something. But what about the way things used to be? Hatred loves it when we look backward instead of forward. Jeremiah tries to pull this one a couple of times, actually, in his scripture. Jeremiah says, "Remember when this nation used to be great?" These are Jeremiah's words, not mine. Just gonna let that sink in. We don't know each other that well. "Remember when God had led us into a time of plenty and abundance and joy?" Hatred loves it when you only see what used to be. Hatred loves it when you can't take your eyes off of it. It actually makes you as effective as a pillar of salt. You can't fight when you're looking backwards. You can't change anything when you're looking backwards. If you are going to look back into the faces of your parents and grandparents. Look back at how they tried so hard to build a beautiful family for you, a community for you that you would be proud of one day. If you're going to look back at how they helped their neighbors or didn't let their friends go it alone. We owe it to them going forward, if we remember their history, that we also act upon what they started, that we continue their work. Friends, turn your eyes back to what is now and do something. But what can I do? I am just me. I'm just Aaron. I'm just one person. I'm just young. I'm just old. I only have this much education. I only have this much money. Friends, Jeremiah tried that too, and so have many prophets in our books. I think that so many prophets in our books have tried that, and it is recorded over and over again because God knew that we would try it too for the rest of our existence here. We would try to say that I am just small. I am just me. But when Jeremiah did it, it didn't work either. Jeremiah said, "I am just a boy," in chapter 1. "How can I say your word?" And God said to Jeremiah, "Don't say that. You are not just a boy to me." Greta Thunberg, the Swedish environmental activist, is 16 years old, and she was 15 when she started her work last year. She is also autistic. Ms. Thunberg spoke on Capitol Hill this week, and so we know that regardless of who you are, actually because of who you are, you have great gifts to take action in the world. Friends, stop denying the gift that you were created to be. Full stop. And then, do something. Friends, this is what I'm talking about when I say do something. This was the perfect sermon illustration for this weekend. God bless me, truly. On Friday night, at an Exxon gas station on the north side, near where Sarah and I go to church on Sundays, there's an Exxon gas station on the north side on Brighton Road. And two women there on Friday night were severely beaten by the owner of the gas station and by his employees. They dragged them by their hair. They knocked them to the ground over and over again. I know this is hard to hear. They were beaten, these women were beaten, because the handles of the gasoline pumps that they used were broken. And when they were done pumping their gas, they pulled the pump out of their car, and the gas continued to spill out all over the cement. And then the owner of the gas station charged them for the gas that they had wasted. Other folks in the neighborhood say that this has happened for a long time. The pumps at this gas station have been broken for a long time, and that every time you go to that gas station, they spill, and the owner of the gas station will charge you extra for spilling his gas. But these women, these two brave women, did not want to be taken advantage of anymore. They were tired of it, and so they said something. May God be with them and their families through their healing and through the prosecution of their abusers. Yesterday, this gas station was closed. The gas station down the road that the same man owns was also closed. But those gas stations, their parking lots were filled with over 50 people. That's a lot of money not being made on a Saturday. That's a lot of publicity you may not want. The crowd was protesting the gas station owner and his employees and the violence that they had shown towards their customers. The crowd was educating the rest of the neighborhood on what had happened. They were having conversations with police officers, wanting to know when charges would be filed and when justice would be done. Essentially, the neighborhood of the North Side stood up together yesterday and they said, "We see you and you can't do this anymore." They said, "You cannot hit women." They said, "You cannot silence people by inflicting violence on them." With their bodies and with their time and with their energy, a community came together to say, "You cannot take advantage of us or our sisters anymore." Friends, they didn't sit at home lamenting. They did something. They didn't say, "That's their problem, they should do something." They did something. The neighbors on the North Side didn't pine for how things used to be, and they didn't make themselves small. I believe that Jeremiah's words still have a place in this world, and I am grateful that they have been preserved for our eyes to see on a day such as this. They are powerful. They give voice to things that we feel, and especially on days when we need to hear them. But friends, that cannot be all that we do. We cannot just read the words. Friends, we must also be the word in the world. And that requires that we stand up and we do something. Friends, I believe that everyone in this room is made for a purpose. And I know that from when you were very small, you have been taught that too. If I am here for a reason today, and I believe that I am, it is to remind you that you have a purpose, that you have gifts, and that you have power. No matter who you are, no matter how much or how little that you have, no matter what you think you can or cannot do, and this is a sermon for myself as well, that I can do great things, and so can you. But to do them, friends, we must begin. It is my hope that you will be a blessing to this neighborhood, to your neighbors, to your friends, as I know that you have been, that you will continue to make this place a beautiful and blessed place in the name of God. And in his beautiful name, may it be so. Amen. Amen.